Well, we praise the Lord for our time together. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning, as we say? Praise the Lord. And the Lord isn't done yet in this place with us. As we continue to seek him, as we continue to look to the Lord, I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles to our scripture passage this morning in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34 is our scripture reading. It's on the screen behind me, or else just follow along in your Bibles. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And a wonderful word indeed for us, and I pray that it spoke to your heart today. Brother Andrew was a Dutch Christian missionary. Is anybody familiar with Brother Andrew? Ever heard of him before? Some of you? Many of you haven't. Well, he was famous for smuggling Bibles and other Christian literature, many Christian tracts, into communist countries during the Cold War, which earned him the nickname God Smuggler. God Smuggler. Imagine having that nickname. And he died last year at the age of 94. But his testimony is a wonderfully encouraging example of someone who continued to hold fast to God's faithfulness in the face of constant adversity. He lived during the rise of communism when, in many Eastern European countries, it was illegal to practice Christianity. We've come a long way since then, but there was a time where it was illegal to practice Christianity in many of those Eastern European countries, and the church had to go underground just to survive. Now, Brother Andrew's mission was to deliver Bibles and to deliver hope to the persecuted church in that part of the world at that time. And God provided for him in many wonderful ways. On one occasion, some of his good Christian friends prayed about how they could support Brother Andrew in this mission. And they prayed how could they help. And so they decided that if at one time and Brother Andrew's visa was approved to go to a certain country named Yugoslavia, then they would give him their brand new Volkswagen Beetle. And true enough, it was approved, and they followed through on their promise, and they gave him, as you can see in this picture, a brand new Volkswagen Beetle. And so he would fill this Beetle, this Volkswagen, with Bibles and tracts and literature and go to each of these countries where it was illegal to practice Christianity and somehow give these Christians, the early church there, material for them to grow in their faith. And there was on one occasion he found himself on the border of Yugoslavia with a car parked full of Bibles and tracts about to enter a communist country where such material was strictly forbidden. And it was here that he prayed the prayer that he would end up praying countless times as he crossed communist borders. And his prayer went like this: Lord, in my luggage I have scripture that I want to take to your children across this border. When you were on earth, you made blind eyes see. Now I pray, make seeing eyes blind. Do not let the guards see those things that you do not want them to see. Amen. And it was a prayer. It was the prayer of the God smuggler. And he prayed it countless times. And on this particular day, when he was in line at the border, two guards asked him if he had anything to declare and then ordered him to empty out his entire Volkswagen at the side of the road for them to see everything, empty his suitcase, all his belongings. And despite all the Bibles and all the tracts lined up at the side of the road for them to see, the guards paid no attention to them and allowed him to enter the country. It's as if they could not see them. God had answered prayer. God had supernaturally provided for Brother Andrew in an amazing way, and he made a way possible for him to carry on this mission that God had given to him to encourage the church in that type of, in that place in the world at that time. What an incredible man of God and faith. But also, as you can hear, also incredible support from those around him, from the Volkswagen Beetle to crossing the border without any issue. Now, I would like for you to have your Bibles open with you as we, I'd like you to turn to an encouraging promise that we find in the Bible, Philippians 4, verse 19. It's on the screen behind me as well. This is one of the most encouraging promises that we have in the Bible. Perhaps you've heard it. Perhaps this is the first time you've seen this verse from the Word of God. Let's say it together, actually. It's just in front of you on the screen. Philippians 4, verse 19. Let's say it together. And my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. One more time. And my God, like you mean it, will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Isn't that an encouraging promise right there? And I'd like for us to look at this promise together today. The words of Philippians 4:19, because perhaps maybe that is why the Lord led you here today. Who knows? Maybe it's for everything that's part of this morning, but we're just so thankful that you're here, wherever you're at in your spiritual life today. Let's briefly look at the background of this one verse, found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. The book of Philippians was written under divine inspiration as a letter by the Apostle Paul, who wrote a majority of the New Testament. And he's writing this while he is in prison in Rome. So he's also going through some adversity. But he writes this letter. And in chapter 4 of this letter, Paul is giving thanks. He's thanking the friends that he had, the church at Philippi, the Christians at Philippi, for all that they were doing to support him in his ministry while he's in prison. And so he's thanking his friends for the gifts that they've sent to him recently and in the past. And it is in that context that we have verse 19. And God directs him, and he writes this incredible promise, wonderful promise of the Lord for believers here in Philippians 4, verse 19. And what happened in Brother Andrew's life? What has happened in Shannon's life? And many of you, is this verse and this promise that are so familiar to each one of us. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And this is one of those verses that are so familiar to us and which so many of us love, and rightly so. It is a loving promise from God to his children. And all throughout the Bible, God has revealed in his word many precious and wonderful promises for us to cling to and hold to in times of trials. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we are to claim them. We are to take hold of them. When the challenges of life overwhelm us, whether they be sickness or death, whether they be addictions, financial hardship, we have a beacon to guide us through. And those are God's promises to his people. God has given us promises of peace. He's given us promises of strength and victory. He's given us promises of our eternal home in heaven. He's given us promises that give us direction on how to come out of many difficulties. Those who diligently search God's written word, God's very own word to us in the Bible, to seek out and take hold of those promises are greatly encouraged. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Many of the promises of the Lord are for believers in Jesus Christ today. That is true. The only promise of God that unbelievers can lay hold of is the one of salvation. In John 3:16, for instance, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And once an unbeliever claims that promise of salvation, then they can lay claim and hold on to all the promises made to the family of God throughout Scripture. So let's this morning take a look at what God promises to believers here in Philippians 4 verse 19, and then some of the important conditions that go along with this one verse. Now, whenever you do a Bible study on your own or with friends, it's always good to ask the question, what does this passage or this verse teach us about God? God, what are you trying to teach us about you in this passage, about your character? And then it's very clear in this verse, we learn that God is our great provider. He is our great provider. And history is full of testimonies from the people of God who have found him to be Jehovah Jireh, Hebrew meaning the Lord, the provider. Jehovah means the Lord that will provide, and it is one of the most popular names for God in the Bible. In fact, that name Jehovah Jireh first came from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, when the Lord told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. And when Isaac asked Abraham, "Father, where is the lamb for this offering?" Abraham told him, "God will provide for himself the lamb." And of course, when they got to the mountain, Abraham was about to make the sacrifice of his son Isaac. God did provide a ram right there, caught in the thicket, and he sacrificed that ram instead of his son. And in Genesis 22:14, it says, Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," or Yahweh Jireh, or Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, the provider. And all through history, God has been Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, the provider for his people. Let me just give you a few other examples. When Jacob and his family were in the midst of a famine in Canaan, God providentially elevated Jacob's son Joseph to a prominent place next to Pharaoh in Egypt, where there was food for people during that drought and famine. And so Jacob goes with his family, and there Jacob sees Joseph, that beautiful reunion, and the Lord provided for them in Egypt during that time. When the people of Israel were in the wilderness, wandering on the way to the promised land, how did they eat? Well, God gave them manna, bread from heaven, to eat every morning. He was Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, the provider. And in the New Testament, for instance, Jesus' disciples saw that the multitude of 5,000 were hungry, and they had no means to feed them except a few loaves of fish and some pieces of bread and some pieces of fish. And what did Jesus do? He multiplied the bread and the fish, and he fed the 5,000 with 12 baskets left over. Jesus was Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, the provider, the great I am, come in flesh to the earth. And so God provided also for some incredible mothers as well in the Bible. Mothers who displayed courage and faith and obedience to the Lord, who struggled, but yet God made a way for them. Moses' mother, Jochebed, showed great courage and faith when protecting Moses. To protect Moses from Pharaoh's command that every male Hebrew child be killed, what did she do? She placed Moses in a basket made of bulrushes and put him in the river. And Pharaoh's daughter discovered the baby. And Jochebed became the nurse of Moses, and God provided for her and Moses' life. And he was spared, and he went on to lead the children of Israel out of slavery out of Egypt. Another mother in the Bible God provided for was the widow at Zarephath. Imagine that your cupboards are empty. Imagine Even the shelves of your refrigerator are bare. You have no idea where you're going to get your next meal. In fact, you have enough for one more meal, and you know that's going to be it, and your family won't survive. Well, in this passage in 1 Kings chapter 7, we learn about this widow, this mother who had very little. And this is what happened to her. And God had instructed his prophet Elijah to go to Zarephath. We don't even know her name. She was just from this town. But God told Elijah to go there where God would provide for him in a very unlikely way. The Lord had commanded this poor mother and widow to feed Elijah. And while we don't know much about her, we do know she had no food to spare. She had been planning her last meal for her and her son before they would die. Then Elijah made a miraculous promise. And the widow's flour and oil would not run out until God brought rain, because at that time there was a severe drought. So the widow trusted in God's promise. She acted in obedience, and the Lord provided. As we read in 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 15, she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Does God supernaturally provide for our needs? He does. And we have the word of God that testifies to that. The scriptures show us over and over again that we have a God who delights to provide for his children. However, God's provision is also connected to our faith and our obedience, and we must each learn to give first place in our hearts to him and to his kingdom. And this is the spiritual lesson that Jesus gives us in Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do you see the condition to that promise there? Seek first his kingdom, and then he will add all these things unto you. It is true also that God provides, though sometimes in not the way that we expect or hope. That is so true. And the challenge for us is to see his provision and care, even when it is different than we expect. And we have to remember in those moments, because God is God and his ways are higher than our ways. That's Isaiah 55, verse 9. We might not always understand how God is answering our prayers. He does answer our prayers. Maybe yes, maybe no, maybe later. But he graciously gives us insight into what he is doing in our lives through the word of God. The God we serve, the God of the Bible, is our Heavenly Father, who provides for the needs of his children, as many of you have undoubtedly experienced personally as well today. Now, Philippians 4, verse 19, we also learn of conditions to this promise as well. And I'd like us to focus on them right now, because this is a great promise that we find this morning. But we need to understand not only the provision that is promised and who our provider is, but also the conditions of that promise. And some who would claim this promise need to look at the context of this verse and some of the conditions that go along with it. Let's look at these and see if you are in a position to lay hold of Philippians 4, verse 19 today. First of all, the relationship that is fundamental to this promise is very clear in Paul's words. Paul says, the apostle who writes this word, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." And so first of all, the apostle Paul speaks here of God as his God. He says, "My God." This is not just some God. This is his God, reflecting this relationship that he has with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And then he says this promise is according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So this promise is in Christ Jesus. The promise of this provision is not just for anyone. It is a promise for those who are in Christ Jesus. Meaning, in other words, this is a promise for believers, for Christians, for people who have given their lives to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Remember who he is writing to. This letter is written to believers scattered throughout Philippi, Philippian believers. Paul's God, whom he calls my God, is who? The one true God. The one who made heaven and earth. The God of wonders beyond all galaxy, who is holy. He made everything, including you and me. He made us and he wants to be our Heavenly Father. And God, if you have yet to experience and discover this about God and the Word, he wants to take care of us. He wants to provide for us. And he wants us to live forever in heaven with him. That is what he made us for. But the problem is, and there is a problem, it's sin. We have all sinned, and Isaiah says, your sins have caused a separation between you and your God. But guess what? Because God is gracious and loving, he solved the problem of our sin by coming to the earth in the person of Jesus Christ and dying on the cross in our place as a sacrifice for our sin. There is the greatest provision ever given to mankind. God was Jehovah Jireh, not just for our physical needs, our emotional needs, our material needs, but most importantly for our spiritual needs. And he provided the sacrifice that paid for our sins in Jesus Christ. Let us never forget it. So now whoever will repent of their sins, whoever will put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord will be saved, and they are then in Christ Jesus. Have you made that decision today? To follow Jesus, no turning back. So first of all, that is who this promise is for. Not just anybody can come along and pick up this verse and say, God will supply all my needs. For those who are in Christ Jesus. And that is the first thing you need to make sure of here. Is your name written in the book of life? Can you call the God of the Bible, as Paul said, my God? Are you in Christ Jesus? And if you can, then you can take hold of this promise. But there's also a need that is specified here. And we need to notice here that it says, my God shall supply all your what? All your needs according to his riches in glory. He does not say he will supply all your wants. Did you know where I was going to go there? I'm sure you did. There is often a big difference, isn't there, between our needs and our wants. And sometimes we confuse our wants and our needs. And I'm sure growing up, when you went shopping with your parents for the first time, they would ask you that question. Is this something that you need or is it something that you want? Do you really need a fourth pair of shoes? Do you really need another outfit? Whatever that could be for you. Really, this is what it all goes back to. And we can get our needs and wants confused all the time, and we have to make sure that our lives are always, first and foremost, lined up with God's will for our life. And in God's Word, we discover God's will, where we are not to go and where we are to go when we live for Him. But really, this all goes back to where you are seeking to find your satisfaction. In the God who made you to be satisfied in Him and Him alone, or in the things that you can buy. The things that you can pursue in this life and collect and store instead of God. God is pleased to satisfy wants that fit within His purpose and in His will. And while He isn't obligated to fulfill any plans but His own, He says that those who seek Him and who seek Him with all their heart, soul, and mind won't lack any good thing. But it has to begin with Him. So pursuing the Lord above also means making our desires subject to His will. And when we delight in the Lord and find great joy and pleasure in that relationship, He will shape not just your desires, but the direction of your life and the mission that He has called you on today. Now, lastly, when it comes to the conditions of this promise, it's important to look at the givers to whom this promise is addressed. To me, this is probably one of the most crucial elements to understand about this verse and this promise. The context of this verse has a lot to say about whether we can really apply this verse to our own lives in our own situation. So in the original context of this letter and this verse, to whom was Paul writing? Again, he was writing to the Philippians, Christians, believers at Philippi. And as we saw, he is writing to them and he is giving thanks to them for all that they have done for him. I believe that the real key here is that Paul was writing to a church, a gathering of people who themselves were meeting Paul's needs as he was out ministering for God's kingdom. If you have your Bibles open with me, look at the instances in this passage, the multiple times, the evidence that Paul gives to us of their ministry here and what they were doing. From verses 10 to 18, it's pretty obvious. What does it say? What does Paul say about them? Well, in verse 10, Paul says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me." And he's referring to his ministry and their ministry to him while he's in prison. But later on in verse 15, he says this of them, "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with me, with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only." Okay, it's also very clear here there that this church had stepped up to help support Paul and his ministry in the kingdom work that he was engaged in. And then in verse 18, he says of their most recent gift to him while he's in prison, what does he say in verse 18? "I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God." You know, it doesn't really tell us what was in this care package, but many believe that it was just perhaps a financial gift, but it could have been more. What kind of a care package do you send to somebody who's in prison in Rome? But the point is, they were supporting Paul in his ministry. At least four times here at the end of Philippians 4, Paul mentions how the Philippians had given to support him in his ministry. So it is in that context then that Paul could now turn to them and say, Philippians 4:19, "And now God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory." And you see how that context matters in understanding this verse and this promise. He isn't just making this blanket promise to everyone. He is making this promise specifically to people who have been meeting the needs of God's kingdom work. He says, "You've been meeting my needs, and now God is going to meet your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." That context is so important. If we want to be able to claim and lay hold of these promises these people had, then we need to also be the same type of givers these people were, consistently supporting God's kingdom work. So how can we do that today? What does that look like today, even for us at Campbellford Baptist Church? Well, there are a number of ways that we continue and can do that we have been doing, serving one another with our gifts and talents, building each other up and encouraging one another. When you become aware, or as a church, when we become aware of a family in need, whatever that need is, we can do something about it. And it could be for you, even practically speaking, taking someone out for a coffee, visiting a shut-in person who hasn't been able to get out in a while or needs some encouragement, some presence, some ministry of presence. It could be cooking a meal for someone who is injured and can't cook for themselves, or writing an encouragement note. Supporting God's kingdom also involves our tithing. The word tithe literally means 10%, and we recognize this biblical principle from the Old Testament where, again, God is the ultimate source of everything that we have. It all comes from him anyways. And so in tithing, we are giving back the first 10% of everything God has given to us, and that's just to be the start. Our tithes are what keeps the kingdom work going on in the body of Christ. But other examples could include, as some of you are familiar with, Operation Christmas Child through Samaritan's Purse that we engage in the fall, where thousands of these shoeboxes go around the world and the gospel is shared with each one who receives a box. But supporting missionaries, whether it be Compassion Kids or Christian orphanages around the world, the Lord, I know, will direct you as you seek him and how you can support kingdom work here on earth. Philippians 4 verse 19 is a great verse. It's a great promise. And I want to close with this story, because our God supplies for all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Dr. Helen Roosevelt was a missionary to Africa from 1953 to 1973. And she tells of the following story. A mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. We try to improvise, to incubate, and to give fluids to the baby, but the only hot water bottle we had left was broken, and we struggled to keep the infant alive. And so we asked the children in the orphanage to pray for the baby and for her sister, and one of the girls responded, "Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely." It was quite a prayer of faith. And that afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as Dr. Helen Rosevere opened the package, and much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. And immediately the girl who had prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, shouting that if God had sent this water bottle, surely there will be a doll. And she was right. There was a doll at the bottom of the package. So our Heavenly Father knew in advance of that child's sincere request. And the wonderful encouragement from that testimony is that that ship had left like 5 months earlier. And God had led a Sunday school group to fill a package for Dr. Helen Rosevere and the mission that she was on in Africa. And it showed up just in time. Just in time. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. So as we close, are you fully trusting God with your situation today? Are you walking in obedience to His word and following Him? You and I would do well to do that. The Bible is full of promises from God to provide for us in times of sorrow, in times of hardship, in times of weakness, and in times of fear. But standing on His promises during adversity will give you the support you need until your troubles pass. So I encourage you today, trust in Him, and you will experience God's provision for all your needs. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your presence in this place. We thank You for Your word and how in Your word we are lifted up. We learn about how great You are at taking care of us. Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for the work You're doing in our lives. We thank You for the testimony of Shannon earlier, God, and the work that You're doing in her life. We thank You for the work that You're doing in each one of our lives. And we pray, oh God, even today, Lord, that we would come and draw closer to You as You are working in our lives in so many ways that we are often not even aware of. And so, Lord, we ask that You would, even today, help us to be more sensitive to the work of Your Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, may You help us to become even aware now. Open our eyes, Lord, to the things of our lives that we need to change. Lord, where we need to receive correction, where we need to repent and confess our sins to You. And, Lord, as we did pray earlier, we thank You that You are a God of forgiveness. And, yes, Lord, cleanse us from all unrighteousness today. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. We thank You again, Lord, for these promises that, Lord, are all through Scripture, that You have given to us. The promises that are given to us for now, Lord, we pray that we will just cling to and hold on to, that they will continue to be a source of encouragement and love in our lives for all that we're going through today and in the days ahead of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.